This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. And I'm delighted to have as my special guest on today, Andrew Burchfield. And Andrew is an authentic voice for his generation who has earned the right to be heard as a producer of purpose. Thousands of Discovery campers admire him for his anointed speaking and worship, leading even more, have been inspired globally through Young Believers broadcast, airing in 196 countries weekly, of which he is the executive producer. He's a seasoned, yet savvy, using his innovative ideas to assist his parents and pastors, Tommy and Rachel Burchfield, through all of BMI's multiple ministry outreaches. Andrew, good to have you on BPN Radio today.
Sir, it is an honor to be here with your wonderful guests, yourself, and I'm really looking forward to this time together.
Well, it's a delight to have you on. I know my granddaughter, Taylor Gentry, you've been on her broadcast on the Millennial Watch. And, of course, we have a lot of mutual friends, including Leland, who was singing a part of our intro there.
Yes.
And the Mooring family. And, well, it's just a delight because I know that you're involved in so much. So much is happening. So much is going on. And, you know, I have this great heart for young people, for youth. In fact, the very first church that Gene and I pastored many years ago, half of the congregation were teenagers.
Wow!
We changed our Wednesday night service to Thursday night, and every Wednesday night we bought a bus. Every Wednesday night, Gene and I would take these young people out to minister. And so, you know, since the beginning, we've had this great passion for young people. And we, of course, have, you know, this ministry called Young Preachers International. Tell me what's happening. What's going on? You're in 196 countries via television. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, sir. Well, we can tell you exactly what's going on, and that is that Jesus is alive, and he's using the next generation to go ye into all the world and tell people about Jesus. You know, we believe that. We believe that strongly. When we started our television show, Young Believers Broadcast, that the Bible is very clear. It says, go ye into all the world. But the great thing about it is that he doesn't tell us exactly how to go. So we have options. We get opportunities. And where some people might decide to be missionaries and literally go out and step foot on foreign land, we believe that we can also be digital missionaries and send that out as well through one location. And it's kind of a crazy story, but my dad was standing in a large news network, and he had the opportunity to have a private tour. And he's standing, he's looking up to the 23 stories in this building. And this was probably, I guess, in 1996, so long, almost 20 years ago. And as he's looking up, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him, and he says, you can reach the entire world from one location. Now go home and start Young Believers Broadcast. And he came home back to Texas, right outside of Houston, and Columbus, Texas is where we find home. And it was an amazing experience where he said, hey, we're going to start a TV show. And we didn't know. We didn't have a camera. We didn't have lights. We didn't have a director. We didn't have a producer. We didn't have anything. But all we had was a word from God and faith in our heart to make it happen. And little to find out, it would take us not only from 1996, but it took us about 6 or 7 years to do the homework, to raise finances, and to get everything put together. And we really had a passion for doing a high-quality program. So we didn't really know how to do that. So we started seeking out individuals and people in that field, in that industry. We started seeing just some really cool stuff take place when we recognized, you know what, we're thankful for the professionals that are out there, but we can do this in-house. And that was really kind of where my story started when it comes to the whole topic of TV and YUB. I remember looking at that original pilot and seeing just the quality, and I had done some video editing and stuff, but I remember going to my dad and saying, Dad, I don't know what you're paying this guy, but I can do this too. And he said, well, let's see what you got, hotshot, you know. And in the process, I was able to put together a show that apparently passed the level of clearance for the executives committee, I guess. And it kind of said, hey, this is looking great and go for it. And little did I know, Dale, that at that time, that what one assignment turned into literally being the past decade of my life. We started airing the show, and we started airing weekly. One network became two networks. It began to grow. We then not only found ourselves, you know, in the region, but we found ourselves in the nation through the United States. And then here comes one country, two countries, three countries, and God just began to just absolutely excel drastically the thought process of what was even possible. And now here we are. We've been on the air for almost 10 years on a weekly basis. And to see what God has done, we currently are in 196 countries around the entire world. And the cool thing about the show is that it is young people reaching young people. So it's Young Believers Broadcast for a reason, not just that we preach to young people. No, it's young people preaching. It's young people singing. It's young people writing the show, editing the show, putting it all together. Because we believe that nobody can really touch a young person the way another young person can. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to kind of recognize that and just to find the need. You know, it's kind of why I'm so thankful for even what you're doing with BPN Radio. There was a need for this media outlet to be fulfilled. There wasn't Christian television out there in the realm that we thought it should have been. And so instead of being mad and complaining and talking about who wasn't doing their job, we said, you know what? This is a call of God for us. Let's put on our boots, strap up, get to the field, and make some really great ministry. So we love what we do. It's been a complete honor, and we're excited about what God has in the future for it.
So you took the scripture literally, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
That's it, man. That's what he says.
But reaching 196 nations, that seems, to the average listener, that seems quite impossible. How did that transpire? How did that take place?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the cool thing, I think, is, and as anyone who is listening might agree, that, you know, when God gives you the instruction to do something, he doesn't always give you the information to back that up, right? That's where faith comes in place. And so I get this instruction, hey, go ye into all the world. Well, how do you do that? I mean, is there a red hot phone you just pick up and call the entire world and, hey, here we're coming to you. If it were that easy, man, we'd all be doing stuff a lot quicker. Yeah. We took what we knew, we took what we had, and we did basically almost what Jesus did. You know, hey, take fish and loaves and break them and watch multitudes of millions be fed by it. And we were able to take that in a digital standpoint and say, here's what we have. We have a show. We have a couple of networks that are playing it right now. Let's start talking about what does it look like to take it one nation at a time. And then we started finding that, hey, wow, well, one nation actually can become 10 nations because they all require the same licensing. And this takes on that. And just slowly by slowly, it didn't happen overnight. You know, it's one of my favorite quotes these days has been that overnight success takes 20 years, you know, which I've heard. And for some, I think that that's even really more like 30, 40, and even 50 years for some. But here we are, and we find that when God gives you the instruction, it's our responsibility to find the information of, okay, well, what does it take to actually make this happen? That's why vision's so important. You know, when Proverbs says, without vision, people perish, that isn't just for a city. No, that's for individuals, people who don't find their calling. They don't get connected with what God's called them to do. They don't know how to step forward. Well, typically it's because they don't have a vision. And I think that was our heart, is we had a vision to make high quality Christian television for young people and to watch that really literally go and see. And man, we gave it to God and he took care of the rest. And when you get kind of a flow, then okay, now it's just kind of a copy paste and take that. And here comes a nation. All right, copy that, paste it to the next nation. And it was really nice. I will say, when we stopped going from one nation at a time to like 10 nations at a time because of licensing and affiliates and all the stuff that comes with it, things sped up a little bit. And I got pretty excited. It was a lot easier to get things moving. So it's possible, man. If you have faith, you keep moving in the direction, you take his instruction, your information, and you keep moving forward.
So evidently you believe that all things are possible.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think that's a great place to start for the day, no doubt. And if we if we mess up one day, we just go to bed, start again tomorrow, and keep moving.
So Andrew, you must have scores of paid employees to go to 196 nations.
Exactly. Not. I'll tell you. You know, we one of the things and what that was really big for us, Dale, was even in our vision, was that we wanted it to be done by young people. So, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody who is working on the show is 25 years old and younger. I mean, wow. we're not putting a ton of stuff into where they're doing everything. We give them the tools. I mean, it's just so incredible. You know, our lead digital designer, Travis, it's amazing what this guy can do just with even his phone. He'll pull his phone out and literally he can film something, put it into a system, edit it for TV, and off to the world it goes. And I think that that's really the great thing that we're seeing with this millennial generation and just even the next generation as a whole is they are not wowed by the lights and the smoke and the flash and the polish and the filters of life. They want the true, authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. They want to see the power of the Holy Spirit in action. And when you can put that into a package called a TV show mm-hmm. and you can send that out there, a lot of great things can happen. So through our Bible school, our wonderful students at Texas Bible Institute, we get them plugged in with our program that we call TBI Digital, and we're teaching them how to edit, we're teaching them how to write, we're teaching them how to use cameras, what is this type of lens versus that type of lens, and we give them some basics, and we say, okay, great, now that you know it, let's go make a TV show, and we get to do that on a weekly basis, and we love what we do.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. So how did you get into... How do you get into communist countries and nations that prohibit the gospel of Jesus being broadcast?
Yeah,
how do you
definitely. Do that? Absolutely. Great question. So, I mean, we get to the place to where we recognize and we understand that there is no distance in the spirit and there is absolutely no barrier whatsoever that prayer can't take care of. So we're constantly praying for open doors. We're constantly praying for the not just open doors and open avenues, but the right ones. You know, you could go through an open door one time, but door 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 that you have to get through after that is closed tight shut. Mm-hmm. We were really beneficial. And when we started learning the power of what it means to work with affiliate networks, and basically what that means is that there's networks and TV stations locally, regionally, and nationally that are already in those countries. Some of them, yeah, underground. You hear about the underground church a lot. Guess what? There's underground broadcasting as well. And you're seeing that there's different regions and affiliates that serve with that. But there's also some areas that provide subscription services. And it's amazing that, you know, there's the satellites that are available to us. The fact to think that you and I, sitting here in Texas, can take a remote control and find a TV show that is being broadcasted to us from space. I mean, just stop and think about that for a second. Like, just the technology is so amazing. Well, that technology is available from space to Texas just as well as it is for every communist country that's available to us. And those subscription services that people subscribe to, there's some understanding of different Christian television networks that have specific satellite systems that as you connect to them subscription-based, they pull in channels that we are already on. So it was really nice for us that the easy answer to that was through the networks that we already had relationships with, through the affiliates that we already had. And then it was kind of fun to find an affiliate that said, hey, have you heard of this network here in the United States before? And they said, no, we haven't. Hey, y'all should partner up. And by that, now not only is our show, Young Believers, broadcast in that nation, but now they get to pick up all the other great programming that comes with a network that we might already be on with here in the United States. So it was really cool to kind of see how God is going. And, you know, to be fair to the conversation too, we're in 196 countries right now. The United Nations constantly is changing that count of how many countries there are. And mm-hmm. currently they say that there's 204 countries, but then there was like 212 countries that got to perform in the Olympics this year. So it's kind of, you know, that number's constantly changing. And I think that is just the thing that we want to know too, similar to all of your listeners at BPN, when they recognize that when you're praying, I don't want to have to tell the Holy Spirit, sorry, I can't do the instructions you've given me because I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. And I believe that those communist countries, that when they open up to the things of the gospel, when opportunity presents itself, I don't want to have to be the guy that says, sorry, I would love to help, but I don't have my licensing in place. I don't have my affiliates in place. No, I want to be ready. I want to be proactive with the gospel, proactive in media so we can move this thing forward and see as many people come to Christ and see as many people educated with the things that God has given them. That's our goal and that's our heart. It's a daily run, jog around the lap of life, if you will.
Very good. So what does your weekly television program or television show consist of? What do you include?
Yeah, so we really felt it was important that not only would we see evangelistic Christian TV, which is very important, but to have a show that was really discipleship-based, and discipleship-based in the sense of here's a student, here's a young person, a young believer, to be specific, that was raised in church. They might know a lot about God, but they don't really know God. They know a lot about the Bible, but they've never really studied the Bible for themselves. We wanted to cater to that young person to say, hey, let us teach you what faith really is. Let us teach you how to study your Bible, not just read your Bible. Let us teach you what the Bible has to say about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of speaking in tongues, and the benefit that we receive with that as a believer. Mm-hmm. And so a typical show, it's a 30-minute show, and you're going to see everything from life stories of people who were possibly came off the streets or stranded on drugs, or someone who might have been raised in church their entire life and had a secret addiction to something in the closet that nobody knew about. But when they really met Jesus, I mean, we've heard these stories for years. Mm-hmm. When Jesus gets in the mix, stuff shakes up. Stuff changes. And that's what we want to show to our viewers, that there's a message of hope with the gospel. There's a mm-hmm. message of faith with the gospel. And seeing that move forward is a great, great, great thing. We're going to see sermons. You're going to see stories. You're going to see some music, might be see some dance. Every episode is so different. Why? Because every single young person is so different, and you got to reach yeah. people where they are.
Yeah. So to our listeners, I mean, where would they go to find your program?
Yeah, so the greatest, easiest place to go right now would probably just be to the website. If you go to YBBTV.com, that's YBBTV.com. It stands for Young Believers Broadcast Television. Mm-hmm. You can go there and you can see all of the networks that we're on, and you can look for something in your local area that serves you. DirecTV, Dish TV, Comcast, there's a lot of some of the subscription services that we're on. And you can always just catch clips online as well. We try to make everything as available as we can.
So if our listeners go to Andrew Birchfield, they can pretty well connect.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah. If you get in touch with me, I'm going to show you where we're going and what we're doing.
This is great. I'm so thankful to be able to have Andrew Birchfield in our studio today.
Yeah.
I don't get to have very many studio
guests. I'm honored,
guests.
Man. This is so exciting what you got going on here. This is great.
Well, thank you. Welcome to Austin, and welcome to our BPN radio studios. And, you know, it just started out with one word from God, and we just started putting up some tectum and some curtains and some soundboard and putting in some equipment, and found some partners to help us, and here we are.
Sounds familiar.
And,
I like it.
I know you're familiar with that. And, you know, I'm so thankful that you have a message to young people. Tell me what is happening with the millennials. I know that you're very in tune with what's going on. I know that things are changing. They tell me that, you know, in the presidential race this year, that so many millennials seem to be disconnected, disinterested.
Yeah.
What is happening to this generation, the millennial generation?
It's a great question. Well, being a millennial myself, it's fun to be able to watch kind of what our generation is doing and how it's changing and how it's constantly moving. And there's a couple of key factors, I think, to know. If we're going to figure out where the millennial generation is going, we kind of have to figure out where they came from. And the most interesting fact to me, a couple of interesting facts that I like to keep in mind, is that the statistics say that by the year 2020, over 50% of the American workforce will be millennials. That's a huge number. By 2020, over 50% of the American workforce will be millennials. It's also interesting to note that the millennial generation is the very first generation to ever be what they call digitally native, meaning they were raised with technology, not at their fingertips, in their pocket. They were raised mm-hmm. with the understanding that I don't just have a cell phone. You know, I remember my dad back in the day had that big old like Motorola cell phone. It had a big old battery. It looked like a phone from the Army that he was fixing to call the White House off of MASH or something like that, you know? Our millennials didn't grow up that way. No, millennials right. grew up not just with a phone in their pocket, but a computer in their pocket. They recognized that as soon as they were getting into college and they were making life decisions and they were trying to figure out how I'm going to navigate the day-to-day life, all of a sudden we got this thing called an iPhone, and this iPhone is providing things to the internet that we had never experienced before. So because the culture shaped so much differently and so many things were constantly changing, We believe that millennials were wrapped up all into that. But what does that really mean? You know, I like to take it back to Mark chapter 11. And I see in Mark chapter 11, here is a story about what we see. We see the rich young ruler. We've heard this story many times, but for a little context, the rich young ruler goes to Jesus and he says, "Hey, I want to do what you're doing. Like, how do I go for it? I want all this stuff, and I've kept all the commandments. I've done good." And he starts going through what I like to call his little church checklist, right? And he says, "I've kept all these commandments. One da 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 da." And God says, Jesus says to him, he goes, "How do you know that God is such a good father? And how do you know this?" And as Jesus begins to instruct him and ask the questions, this rich young ruler, who I believe was a millennial, or at least younger than Jesus and at that time, that he was in this place to where he's going, "Okay, I've kept all the rules. I've done everything. I've been taught from just being a boy that God is a good father and he's a good God and he loves me and all these things. But I'm still not fulfilled," is basically what the rich young ruler was screaming. "I'm not fulfilled. Yeah. I have all this stuff and I'm not fulfilled." And Jesus tells him what? He says, "Go sell all of your stuff. You've got a lot of stuff. You have many possessions. Go get rid of all of it and then come follow me." And what we see there is that Jesus gave the rich young ruler an opportunity for what? For lordship. He gave an opportunity for lordship. Now, we don't know whether the rich young ruler took on that opportunity or didn't. All that the Bible tells us is that he went away and he was sad about it because he had many great possessions. Yeah. So I think the first thing we have to recognize from a millennial standpoint is that millennials lack in lordship. They love Jesus. He's their savior. They might have been raised in church, but Jesus, let me get over in the passenger seat so you can take the driver's seat for a little while and you drive my life. You make the decisions. We like to teach our students at TBI that when you decide to follow Jesus, that's the last decision you're ever going to have to make, because following Jesus is what you do for the rest of your life. Yeah. That's what lordship's all about. Mm-hmm. That's what we were talking about earlier today. To be able to say, "I'm just enjoying the journey," man, how peaceful is that? How stress-free is that to know that he's in charge, he's moving forward, and great things are happening? So I think, number one, lordship is a big issue. If you keep going into that same chapter, you see that that's where James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come in and say, "Hey, Jesus, we want to be a leader like you. Like, put us in charge. You know, we want to be a boss." And they go through it, and Jesus says, you have no idea what you're asking for here, guys. They say, no, we really do. And so Jesus says, "What? Okay, sure. If you want to do it, go for it." So Jesus puts them in a position. The other disciples get mad. I'm paraphrasing a lot just for time's sake here. But the other disciples look in, and they say, "Well, wait a minute. How did they get on the boat? What's going on?" And they get a little fussy and excited about the whole thing. And Jesus basically says, "They asked for it. I gave it to them." I think the second thing we have to recognize is that millennials are starving for leadership. They're starving to be leaders. They want to be leaders. They want to be thought providers and thinkers and moving things forward. The very end of that chapter we see is where a blind man is healed. And Bartimaeus comes up and he goes and Jesus heals him. And I think that's the first time where these disciples, these quote-unquote newly elected leaders in the Jesus tribe council, if you will, James and John, they see this miracle and they're blown away by it. And I know that it was at that moment that they said, "Jesus is worth following because what he's doing is real. What he's doing has power. What he's doing has value." And because of that, I think that the third thing we're seeing with millennials is they have to see an authentic move of the power of God. There was a great season where we were able to be creative and talk to people and invite them into the conversation of Christianity. But Jesus died for more than the opportunity to talk to someone about Christianity. No, he died so that way when he rose, he would also rise in us and that the power of the Holy Spirit would come and be available. So those would kind of be the three talking points I would think for millennials, is that we've got to drive them towards lordship. We've got to give them the opportunity to teach them, to show them, to example, to model, to behave in what it means to be lordship driven and really recognize what that means. Number two, I think we've got to give them leadership potential. We got to give them, you know, you think about it too. Somebody believed in you at one point, one time. We all have people like that.
Yeah.
We have to believe in millennials. We have to believe in the next generation. And don't sugarcoat stuff. These kiddos can smell fake from a mile away. And if you try to maneuver it or manipulate it, man, that doesn't sit well with them. But they're good. They're good hearts. Their good minds are sharp. They're brilliant. They grew up in the knowledge generation, so they have so much insight and information. A question that they might ask that 20 years ago, you could have told them whatever you want. Now they're going to check you, fact check you, get on Google, check it three times over on the book that they just purchased from Amazon. They really, really value knowledge, which is great. That's why I'm always saying, hey, read Proverbs more. It'll kind of help you out. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff. But I think the millennial generation, or, quote, the mobile generation, is going to be the generation that takes the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world in different ways, in different places and phases.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrew, I'm so glad to have you on. And, you know, I've been talking and prophesying for a long time that I see young preachers coming out of obscurity to preach to their generation.
Wow.
And, you know, I believe I'm a part of the Abraham generation that is encouraging the Jacob generation to come out of obscurity, preach to their generation, because I believe it's young men like yourself that is preaching to fellow millennials that's going to break open, you know, what I've been praying for a long time. And that, of course, is another spiritual awakening, revivals in America. And, of course, I've been calling for this for a long time since I led prayer at the White House in 1996 when the Holy Spirit just told me, to start calling for breakout. And so I just took the scripture from the book of Micah and started calling for breakout. And I'm still believing it. And I believe it's going to happen. It may not be the next awakening, which I believe there's another awakening coming.
Yes, sir.
It may not be like most people think it's going to look. Do you have any idea what the next awakening is going to look like, Andrew?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, and we echo and even thank you for literally plowing the way for this millennial generation and breakthrough in prayer and all that we're doing. I think to answer the question, I really believe that this thing called the internet, this thing called technology is a big deal. It wasn't just a good idea. I believe it was a God idea. And where things can be, you know, corrupted or taken for different uses, we know that Romans 8 says that all these things work together for good, and that I believe technology is a part of that equation. I also think that technology is needed so much, especially to fulfill the return of the prophecy of the return of the Lord. We know Jesus is coming back, and we know that in the Bible when it says that every eye will see and every ear will hear his return, how's that supposed to happen when you're in a plane at 40,000 feet in the air? You know, and now you can flip through and watch the Cowboys play, or, you know, I mean, it's just incredible what it's doing. You think about what we're doing right now. It is because the power of the internet that we have nations that are tuning in and listening. So I think to answer the question a little more practically, I think that the next great awakening is going to have a massive, massive role with internet, with mobile, with taking messages and moving it forward. You know, anybody can be a good preacher. Anybody can share a good sermon. It takes someone who is anointed by God to see that go through. We know there's no distance in the spirit. And so I believe that as prayer pockets are breaking out all over the entire world, to be able to connect that, to make me feel that, hey, the five kids here in my house that I'm praying with every Monday night, what? There's five kids in China too praying as well. Hey, let's link up together and let's all pray together at the same exact time. Like, what happens when you have different continents all going for the Holy Spirit, all on assignment, all moving forward? And technology is not the answer. It's simply a tool that helps us get to the answer. We know the answer is Jesus, and that by constantly pursuing his presence, we're going to see some things really, really wake up. But I agree. I think the songs are getting stronger. I think the prayers are getting deeper. I think people are starting to recognize that conferences are great, but they've kind of been miscued a little different direction. You know, they're not pep rallies. They're not hype meetings. They're here to empower and to encourage and to educate people on how we can keep going more. And so I think there's a lot of factors involved. The church has a big involved in that, the capital C church, if you will. But at the end of the day, we know that any awakening that we believe is going to take place is going to require the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is only going to come when prayer is at the front of that movement.
Well, I certainly believe that. And it's amazing the days in which we're living. You know, when Gene and I started out in the ministry 50 years ago, if we wanted to be a missionary to Africa, then we had to raise, you know, if we'd wanted to done that, we had to raise our support. We had to go over there and maybe send a letter back from time to time. But and I have been to many nations of the world to minister. But just to think that I can stand behind a microphone or you can stand behind a camera and reach the whole world.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, even to the point now to where we can take apps like Periscope and Facebook Live and we can literally have live interaction with people who are out there. Just incredible, incredible interactions are available to us. And I think that it's not enough that we have an interaction. We actually have to have an integrated system that gets those people and those believers plugged in into places that really allow them to continue to grow and continue to go after the things of God. It's an exciting time. No doubt about that.
It is. And when I think about, you know, as I was telling you earlier, Gene and I suspended our travels this year in order to go live on BPN radio. But to think that this year, our 50th year, we have reached more people from our studio in Austin without flying anywhere to minister this year than all the other 49 years put together.
Wow, that's incredible.
We've reached more people.
Wow.
Reached more people this year just by standing in front of this microphone and ministering to people than all of our 49 years put together.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And when you think about the possibilities, Andrew, that are out there and the possibilities that await particularly this millennial generation, it's mind-boggling.
Sure. Absolutely. It really is. And I think that the thing, too, that we have to remember is that every single person listening right now plays a part and a role in continuing to see the movement of the gospel go forth. In many ways, whether that's through financial support to great places like BPN, or whether that is just even, hey, a post goes out, reshare that, retweet that, send it out, point people towards great material that you know is going to benefit stuff. That's what helps send. When people always say, like, I want to send Jesus to the world. Great. Did you retweet your pastor the other day? Because he's trying to do that. And if you can do that, that really does help and benefit in sending more support out. And I think that when everybody does their part, we're going to see things open up in a new, amazing way that we, I believe, have not seen or experienced, definitely in our lifetime, for sure. We believe that the power of the Holy Spirit, he's ready, man. He's waiting for the welcome and the invitation. And we are going to stay in the place of prayer that keeps us moving forward towards that destination.
Absolutely. I love to work for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I love the Holy Ghost. And I believe that young people are really, really hungry. And I know that you guys are very active in not only sharing the gospel via television, but you have a training center. You have youth camps that are going on. What all are you doing to prepare young people and reach out to them personally as well as through the media?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I mean, thanks to the wonderful yes that my parents gave to Jesus Christ almost 30 years ago, we've been able to see a lot of great things happen through BMI's multiple outreaches. And BMI has one mission, one vision, and that is to build and bless his church. So we're resources. We provide resources for churches, and whether that's through curriculum, whether that's through conference centers and groups and gatherings, summer camps, Bible schools, you name it, we're here to help churches. That's our heart. That's what we decided to do a long time ago, and we've been just so fortunate and blessed to be able to do that for almost 30 years now. So it kind of really started back when we started doing summer camps. And our first summer, this is crazy. You'll appreciate this, Dale, because you've been in ministry a long time. Our first summer camp, we moved out to Columbus, Texas by faith. We had no idea what to expect. My parents had been doing other camps and facilities. They'd rent out different places around the state of Texas and stuff. But this was the first time. It was our place. We were responsible for the food. We're responsible for the safety and the janitorial and all the stuff that comes with camp and ministry. Our very first summer, we were expecting 500 kids. We had 5,000 show up because of word of mouth. And where some people might think that's a praise report, it was not a praise report. And that first time, your very first summer, getting that thing going. Now, fast forward now, and here we are. This upcoming summer, we'll celebrate our 29th summer. And we see close to 20,000 kids every single summer now from across about 1,000 different church groups that come. So instead of sending like your individual kid to camp, the entire church group comes to camp.
Yeah.
So the youth group comes to camp, the kids group comes to camp. And then during the year, we do stuff for men's and women's. And so we're constantly building the church. We're constantly blessing the church. We're constantly taking those church groups and recognizing that. Well, we started finding out we had all these campers coming, and they loved camp so much that they didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, man, if we had some more time with you guys, we could really teach you and train you, and not only naturally, but spiritually and even practically. And out of that was birthed the Bible School, Texas Bible Institute. And so we have two semesters. It's two programs, one in the fall, one in the spring, one dedicated to discipleship, one dedicated to leadership. We bring these students in. Right now, we have 23 nations represented in this class alone.
Wow.
And what's so great is we get to train these students, build them up, and not just teach them how to hear the voice of God and how to get into some of this stuff, but we can also teach them, hey, here's how you do a television show. Hey, here's how you do business administration. Hey, here's how you can lead worship for your church back home. We raise these students up, and then we send them back into the fields of their local churches or the nations where they've come from. And to be able to see that we can train people is a great thing. We believe that we can bless the entire body of Christ by creating amazing and educating and just allowing space. You know, I think that's a big thing that you would probably appreciate as well. Most of the times we hear from God, we hear the Holy Spirit, we know what He's telling us to do, but we just don't give Him space to work in our life, to flow in our life. How do I figure this out? How do I navigate through this? TBI became a safe place of space for a young person to come, and I feel really called to preach. Well, have you ever preached a sermon before? No, I haven't. Well, there's an oak tree out there. Just go start over there, preach to the tree, and then you can move up to the deer next week, right next to it, you know? And then after a couple of weeks, we'll give you a position and let you get going and start with your dorm. And then next thing you know, you've got great things happening across the region. So, yeah, it's just been such an honor to serve God's people day in and day out, and to do it in a family environment that definitely ripples out into our culture very, very well. And we love what we do. We wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And we're just honored to build and bless churches.
And tell us about how we can make contact concerning your summer camps and also your Texas Bible Institute. How can people make a connection?
Yeah,
there?
Definitely. We'd be happy to serve anybody who's looking for that, and just even just wants to be a part. The best place to go is probably just birchfield.org. You just go to birchfield.org, and it'll link out to everything else we're doing from there. And we would love to make ourselves available to you. We're excited. And even this weekend, we've got church groups coming in this weekend. They're coming in next weekend. We're doing kids retreat after that. I mean, we've always got something going on for church groups. And it's amazing. Come to Columbus, Texas, 1,088 acres, completely debt-free for the glory of God. And, you know, it's amazing talking about the power of prayer. We've heard it so many times that, you know, we've got a lot of American flags right at the front. Over 30 American flags is at the front entrance of our campus. And people say, you know, it's amazing, Andrew. Every time I cross the flags, I just feel a peace. I just feel the anointing. And I believe in that. I believe that there are places geographically assigned to host the presence of God. And we are honored to have a understanding that it's a very sovereign work, and we didn't do anything to earn it, we didn't do anything to keep it, but because Jesus loves us and we're true to keeping it pure, to keeping it holy, we'll keep the rates as low as we can to bless God's people, and we're honored. It's a great thing.
Well, Andrew, I'm honored to have you on the Friday Watch here on BPN Radio, and sharing all the amazing things that God is doing through your life and ministry. You as a young man, a millennial, and where are you going from here? What do you see happening?
Man, I'm just trying to keep up with my dad, if we're just being honest here for a second. You know, I believe that God's doing a lot of amazing things. The Holy Spirit gave me a word about 5 years ago that just kind of really has. Most people get words, and you know, they hear from the Holy Spirit, and it's like a daily conversation. They have daily coffee with the Holy Spirit. You know, that's not really my findings. Most of the time, when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, it's instruction, it's assignment, it's get with it, stay with it, and keep moving. And a couple of years ago, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me about just administration within the church. And I think that the thing we find the most and see the most is that what is constantly happening. constantly happening. We are seeing that churches are getting frustrated, that churches are getting tired, that churches are getting burnt out. And why? It's not because they don't love what they're doing. It's because they're frustrated in how it's getting done. Most churches know why they do what they do. Most churches know what they do. But a lot of disagreement comes with how it's going to get accomplished. And we just started finding ourselves and built out some stuff for ourselves internally that would resource our ministry in helping us do the how of everyday life. And the Holy Spirit gave me this word. He said that common order brings uncommon glory. You can look through the entire Bible. There's not one when referring to the presence of God, when referring to the power of the Holy Spirit, referring to miracles. Jesus never did one miracle unless order was already put in place before it. Order always preceded glory. We even saw that in the Old Testament when Moses is giving instructions about the tabernacle. Make it this big, this wide, this high, use these colors, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. We see all this. When God is talking to Noah and he says, hey, build a boat. God and Noah says, what's a boat? He goes, well, you know, it's that thing for rain. What's rain? You know, I mean, can you imagine that frustrating comment and conversation that Noah had? But what happens, though, we see, Dale, is that when order is put in place, glory follows. And I think a lot of the reason that the churches are lukewarm and a lot of the churches that are dealing with stuff on a day-to-day basis, it's not that they don't love Jesus. It's not that they don't want to touch people. It's that there is an internal struggle of order going on inside of their church, inside their house. It might be in the way that we just clean the bathrooms, or it might be in the way that your church is legally set up and the financial structure of the way that you're trying to do your accounting does not line up with integrity. Mm-hmm. I believe all of that plays into where the Holy Spirit goes and rests and puts his hand upon. So I think that to answer what's next, I'm excited about helping churches administrationally and helping churches recognize that your culture, your staff, your volunteers to want to be a part of something, it's a big deal. Leadership's a big topic on my heart. I love leading people. The greatest gift of life is to be able to teach somebody something and watch them get the credit for something you taught them. I think that's great. I think that's awesome because that's what I saw Jesus do. And so I'm excited. It'll definitely involve technology. It'll definitely involve media, definitely involve TV, and it'll definitely involve giving millennials an opportunity to do more for the King of Kings.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly excited about what's happening in your life, Andrew, what you're doing. And, wow, you have my full support, and I trust that people will be in touch with you, contact with you. And if they want to be involved in the ministry, they can go to andrewburchfield.com. We're about to run out of time here. I want you to pray. We made a policy here on BPN Radio. We're not going to talk about anything we can't pray about or
Let's
we don't
go.
Pray about. So why don't you pray for young people? I believe there's a lot of young people out there that have great passion to do something for God. They may not know what to do next, but I think you've given us some insight. And so you pray. Todd Mooring, he's going to play some background music for us. And you pray, Andrew.
Amen. I'd be honored.
All right.
Holy Spirit, we come before you right now. We thank you that because of your amazing grace, because of the opportunity that you've given us to be truly ambassadors for Jesus, to take the message of Christ to the world, and to now give us these tools to do it. Father, we don't take it lightly, but we say thank you for that opportunity. And God, I pray right now that for those listening who have a desire to be passionate in pursuing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and even with their faith, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're alive and you're well inside of every single person. And even for creative ideas, I even feel even right now that there's people listening right now that you've had ideas before. Maybe it might be a business idea. Maybe it might be just be something for the church and you just didn't really know if you had what it took or you were intimidated by the technology. I just bind and break any type of intimidation right now and the authority of the Holy Spirit that great idea, it's not a great idea, it's a God idea. He put that inside of you, and so because he put that inside of you, it's your responsibility to move forward with it, Father. And I just pray that the boldness would come up on the inside of them, that you would connect them with people to help and resource. Father, we pray right now that the technology that is made available to us, that it is being used used for good purposes, that as it goes over the airways, as it goes over the satellites, as it goes through the fiber channels, as it goes through the internet, Father, that Jesus Christ would be lifted high and that there would be an anointing that comes through these areas. Father, we just pray against right now any evil spirit. We break down every single thing. Why? Because he is a defeated devil. And we know that because Jesus is alive, that everything that Jesus is involved in is alive as well. Father, I just pray too that you would give us an understanding that as we continue to believe in people, that we would take your route, your ideas to believe in people. Father, I just pray that there would be a believing in the next generation, to believe in millennials, to believe in young people. And just because they might not fit the bill or look the part or do it the same way that it's been done for 20 years, Father, I know that you are putting inside of the hearts of every single person listening today that there is a new wave. And everyone, we believe, we thank you, Jesus, that the new awakening that you speak of, the new awakening that Dale's prophesying, that the revival to America that we know is coming. It's not going to come in old wineskins. We can't have new wine in old wineskins. Father, and I thank you. What does a digital revival look like? What does a digital revival of intercessors and prayer warriors look like from around the entire world? And Father, we thank you that we will get the opportunity to see that done. We don't look to man. We don't look to natural circumstances. We look to the kingdom. We look to the realm of the spirit to recognize what is available to us. And Father, I thank you that we get to be a part of it. Let us never forget that it's because of your grace. It's because of your mercy. It's because we said that simple word. We said yes. We said yes to following Jesus. And by saying that one simple word, wow, everything has changed. Father, I just pray a peace, an understanding right now in the hearts of every person listening today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Andrew Birchfield. Here's our mutual friend,
yeah.
Leland. He's going to sing The Light of the Lamb here on, BPN Radio. It's been good to have Andrew Birchfield.
Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For
Okay, there you have my spiritual grandson, Leland. I really like that song, The Lion and the Lamb. It's been good to have Andrew Birchfield on today with us. It's been a great day.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
What heaven means to me.